It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We check in on the Wisconsin live theater scene. The New York Times reported last month live performance is back, but audiences have been slow to return. So we'll explore if that holds true here. Find out about the theater company you are part of or support as an audience member. Join in on the theater experience now, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jen Uphoff-Gray is artistic director at Forward Theater Company in Madison, chairs monthly conversations with leaders of Wisconsin professional theaters. Jen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and Brenda DeVita is here as well, artistic director of American Players Theater in Spring Green. Brenda, welcome to you.
Hello, welcome. Thank you. Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to you too.
Welcome all around. Right. So Brenda, starting with you, American Players Theater is about 2 months from finishing its full audience season since 2019. What are you reflecting on as the season is nearing the end?
Wow, it's surpassed like all of our expectations, honestly, because, you know, we try to keep our expectations, you know, in check when we entered the season. Our 8 shows are up and running and we're in rehearsal for the 9th show. So our repertory we just didn't know how it would come off having all the actors back, because at the height of it, we have like 250 people on property. So in the middle of dealing with COVID, we just try to keep our expectations low, but the audiences have been extraordinary. We are almost back to 2019 numbers, about 95% back to 2019 numbers, which we didn't anticipate. So we are experiencing something that I think we were feeling through the pandemic, is that a lot of people wanted to get out and get back. And I think being outdoors has a lot to do with that. Having the outdoor venue. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very challenging, but it has been extraordinarily exciting to see, you know, 1,000 people in the house again. So mm-hmm. that's like heart, you know, it was like a heart, so heartwarming, because last year was so heartbreaking, you know, to be out there with nobody.
But are concerns of COVID behind you?
Oh, gosh, Jen, I would love to say to Jen, as she's like starting it right now, she's opened her shows. I have to say we are still dealing with the COVID. We call it the COVID. Because we test as part of our safety measures here, and the unions, the union's guidance, the actors' unions and directors' unions' guidance, we test sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. Mm. And if someone is tested positive, they have to, even if they're asymptomatic, they have to step away from the program in our protocols for 10 days. So you can imagine, while trying to rehearse 5 shows at a time, if one person who's in 2 shows or at the height of the season in 3 shows, one person goes down, we're putting in 3 different actors. So we've had a series of understudies, incredible work done by the company and the stage management crew to keep the shows going as much as we can. But we've had to cancel some shows for COVID, and we've had to cancel. And then we got, you know, just kind of a ridiculous weather last weekend. So we've had a lot of cancellations. And I think that's what I've heard throughout the country. There were a lot of cancellations due to COVID in the theater community, and still happening everywhere.
So Jen, fall season getting started at Forward Theater Company. What are you feeling? What are your takeaways as you prepare for the upcoming season?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, congratulations, Brenda, on such strong audience numbers this season. That is so hopeful to hear, because it's certainly not the story that I'm hearing from colleagues all over the state and all over the country. So that's a wonderful indicator about our local audiences and how they're feeling. Although yes, outdoors certainly helps with that. You know, I agree with Brenda. I mean, COVID's not done. It's not remotely done with us. And even if it were, you know, we have unions and requirements that we have to work with that are, you know, extremely restrictive, and for the most part really should be, to keep people safe. Our industry was the first to close down and the last to reopen, I think, which is part of why we're seeing such lingering effects. So as we look to our season ahead, we're, you know, in the middle of the run of our first production of The Wanderers right now. You know, I'm knocking on wood right now. You know, we've been producing full time since the start of the pandemic. We have not yet had any closures or any cancellations at all. But I, you know, I knock wood because it, you know, it's coming. It is inevitably coming. And the uncertainty of that, you know, even if we haven't had any closures ourselves, and it's partly because, unlike Brenda, we don't have to rehearse five shows at once. Mm. So we don't have the same kind of cross pollination, so to speak. But just the general uncertainty that the audience is aware of because of all the cancellations that have happened, not just around here, but Broadway. It's such big news. Broadway keeps canceling productions and performances. I think it's just really caused a big hit in people's comfort being subscribers. You know, I recently heard from one of my colleagues that the Lort theaters, that's the sort of big regional theaters all across the country, there's about 78, 9, I think 80 of them, just did a survey of their members, and just this year compared to last year, subscriptions are down 30%. Which is
a
sort of terrifying hit at a time when government support has disappeared. Inflation has caused all of our costs to go way, way, way up. And we've all, I mean, and Brenda, you know, can speak this as well. We have all added so many costs to our productions beyond just inflation. You know, we're all testing, as Brenda said, 2-3 times a week, all those testing and cleaning and those kinds of supplies. For those of us doing video streaming, there's a lot of costs involved with that. And of course, really beefing up our understudies. You know, we used to hire, you know, very, very few understudies for the short runs that we do here. And now we hire one-to-one. We hire an understudy for every single actor in our productions.
That can
so that we won't have
really
to cancel.
Yeah,
so we don't have to cancel a performance if someone goes out. So yeah, it's, you know, it's rough out there.
Jen Apoff-Gray with us, Forward Theater Company Artistic Director, Brenda DeVita of American Players Theater in Spring Green, also Artistic Director as we look at local theater groups, operations as they are now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You know, Brenda, it feels a bit, as Jen describes it all there, is like walking on eggshells effect. You just don't know what the next shoe to drop will be. What frame of mind are the actors in? Do they feel a semblance of normal or maybe a new normal?
Oh, God. I'm sorry. If any of them are up and listening, I have to be honest and say there is no new normal. What we're trying to do is just get everyone to agree that fluid is the answer. Like staying is fluid and is present and is like, what are you? Where are you? How are you today? I mean, how can we help each other out? That has been 2022, we got through, is how that company feels. You know, we're trying to get to the end of the season saying, keeping each other whole and stepping in for each other. I mean, I literally, one day we had 5 understudies going in for Hamlet. Thank God, not Hamlet or any of the major roles, but 5 smaller roles going in. And I literally driving down the road and I see a really good young actor that I have a great confidence in. And he's like, what can I do? And I'm like, how about you put on a costume? And you go in tonight for this role, tomorrow night for this role. And he's like, oh, I thought you were going to ask me to go in tonight. Yeah, I can do that. So that's the kind of like, literally, we are asking people to join. You know, we have understudies, but the understudies themselves, a lot of times are overwhelmed. I think the outside psychic energy of being an artist today or just living is part, if you can imagine for an artist, that their job is to be an emotional human in the and we add all this unknown to everything. We just really try to stay in communication and really try to help them.
I'm thinking as you drive down the road, workforce housing in Spring Green, what is it like finding places for your cast and crew to live?
Yeah, we housed this year 165 people in our town of 1800. And I have to shout out to our company management team and our entire company, and also shout out to this community, because it is no joke post-pandemic. It's always been a difficult, difficult job to house people here because they come for anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 months for the summer, from our people working in the shops to the actors and crew running the shows. And it is extraordinarily difficult. But this year, after all the people that moved back to town, to the small towns, and all the leases that got all the apartments, there's just a housing shortage everywhere. I'm sure Jen has her own housing issues in Madison continually. It's just extraordinarily difficult. And those costs have gone through the roof. Mm-hmm. So we have had a really generous donor, thank God, help us build some apartments this summer for next year. But that will just be able to like pick up the people that were putting way away. Like, we were looking at housing in Madison. We were looking at housing as far away as 45 minutes. And to be in a show until midnight and then drive home, it's just not, it's feasible. So that's been a really, probably one of the most primary challenges of our season.
Looking at the challenges facing theaters, two artistic directors with us, Brenda DeVita there, who is with American Players Theater in Spring Green. Jen Uphoff-Gray with us, Forward Theater Company in Madison. Join in on attendance, the comeback, the productions, availability of theater cast and crew. Workforce, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on live theater in Wisconsin after the long pandemic ups and downs, what the comeback has been like. A shout out to Evergreen Theater in Green Bay, mounting 8 productions in its dual season on the main stage and young actor shows. It starts with The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, opens in 1 week. Give a shout out to your community theater, how it's doing. 800-642-1234. We have artistic director Brenda DeVita, who is with American Players Theater in Spring Green. And Jen Uphoff-Gray is here, artistic director from Forward Theater Company in Madison. They stay with us. So, Jen, you know, there are workforce shortages in industries all over the place. Pay and a living wage is a front and center issue right now in our country here in Wisconsin. Are regional theater companies struggling to retain employees?
Absolutely, they are. And I think that, you know, there's a whole bunch of things involved in that. Living wage is a huge part of it. Work conditions is a huge part of it. But even for companies like mine, and I know like Brenda's, where living wages and good work conditions have been a priority since long before the pandemic, what you have to remember is that our field is one that is predominantly fueled by freelance artists. And when COVID hit, they were left without a safety net at all. And the number of people who during that long shutdown made the really painful decision to leave our field, it's a really big number. And especially, you know, for, I think of my company, where a huge part of our mission statement is employing Wisconsin-based theater professionals in a market like Wisconsin, where there's not as much work to go around as there might be in a major metropolitan area. It was even more devastating when just so many contracts were canceled, so many companies shut down for the duration of that first wave of the pandemic. And so people felt really vulnerable, and artists were certainly seen as non-essential. And that has had an effect that's going to linger, I think, for a decade or more.
Brenda, you see the flux, I'm sure, of people coming in and out of Spring Green. What about making a living and that living wage in theater? What do you see?
Oh, it's so interesting. Living wage in theater. We've been working on a living wage in theater idea for the beginning of time, I think. I you know, there's never enough resources to pay artists and artisans what they are worth or they deserve. I use quotes. Because what they do is completely individual to the person and their abilities and their spirit and how they move through the world. And it's impossible, honest to God, to ever pay them. But to pay them enough to live in this day and age with the inflation, we have moved to try to make sure everybody in the next few years are making a livable wage, $15 or more. In the next couple of years, we've had that with all of our, because we have, you know, a lot of incoming entry level staff. And I think that the biggest deal with that is that where are they going? Even if they come, like Jen was saying, they're freelancers. What happens when they come and they work here for a summer and they work in the shops or their production assistant or their, where do they go after this? Because what they're seeing out there is a lot of theaters with budgets that are shrinking, with job offers that are shrinking. They're rarely seeing contracts that last longer than, you know, 8 weeks. And it's really a scary time to commit yourself to that. So it is an ongoing conversation with each individual about what are their life goals? I mean, I don't know how to say it any other way. Does this fulfill you in a way that can help you continue? I have no idea how young people walking into the arts right now are feeling about the industry. I do know that here, we are lucky enough to offer people enough weeks, at least at one time, for the actors and the stage management to have their insurance, to have a long contract. But that doesn't change like when October, November comes, where they're going and what they're doing. And I think it's always been a struggle in the theater, but now it's more so than ever. And we're focused on it in a way that has really become, we don't have theater if we don't have great artists and artisans. We just mm-hmm. don't have theater. Mm-hmm. So we have to continue to focus on those guys and what they need to live. But it's a question that will move and always move to the individual, what they need, because everybody has a different answer to that question.
Jen, speaking of answers to different questions, you've held these monthly meetings with mm-hmm. theater company leaders around the state. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall. What are those conversations like?
Well, the interesting thing is those conversations started shortly before COVID, hopefully this will be another discussion another day, but coming up this spring, there's going to be a statewide festival, World Premiere Wisconsin, involving, at this count, we're over 52 companies around the state participating, and that number has been growing every day. But the professional companies in the state started meeting in the fall of 2019 to plan for that festival. So when COVID hit and everybody went into their homes, we already had a platform to talk to each other. And my gosh, we have never needed each other's counsel and support more than during these 2.5 years. And so we just started making those a regular Zoom meeting. And I've been just kind of, pulling them together and chairing them for this past 2.5 years. And what's been wonderful is to see how generous all of my colleagues have been, sharing information, sharing ideas, and just support for each other. Hmm. I mean, I think the things we've been talking about are all the things Brenda and I have just, addressed in the last 15 minutes of sure. this conversation. Mm-hmm. COVID, working with the unions, making decisions about audience protocols, honestly, I feel that many of us have been left sort of out on our own to become epidemiologists and public health experts, because there has not been a ton of guidance or leadership at the state or national level during phases of this pandemic on what we should expect of people gathering in public spaces. And so those are weighty decisions to make. And I think we've all been able to be very supportive of each other, even as, individual companies have made different decisions. It's been so helpful to be able to talk it through with people mm-hmm. who are in a similar boat.
Knowing that they're in a similar, yes, position. I just want to touch base here on grants and other aid coming in, because at the end of 2020, Governor Evers distributed $15 million in COVID cultural organization grants, hundreds of organizations across Wisconsin getting them. Both of your, both of your organizations mm-hmm. got grants. So, I mean, mm-hmm. since that pandemic relief aid happened, have you received other aid to keep going, or was that it?
There's been a few different government programs that happened during the first, I'd say, 18 months mm-hmm. Of the pandemic that were, they were truly a lifeboat for so many organizations, because they helped people keep staff on payroll, or at least some staff on payroll, and cover some expenses. So the way my board and I talk about it is, the pain we all anticipated financially when the pandemic first hit, and we thought, oh my gosh, we are going to lose a tremendous amount of money, it basically kicked that down the road. So those huge losses did not happen immediately because of that government support, but it's now completely gone. It's completely gone. And now we're in the situation, as I said earlier, where expenses are much, much higher. Audience numbers are down. So that ticket revenue is lower and will take probably a few years to rebuild. I think the dire circumstances for a lot of our colleague companies were essentially postponed. And now is when I think things really hurt.
Mm. Thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for shining a light on theater in Wisconsin. Thank you so much.
Yes. Brenda DeVita, Artistic Director of the American Players Theater in Spring Green. Jen Uphoff-Gray, Artistic Director for the Forward Theater Company in Madison. Up ahead, theater companies around the state are showing live performances for the fall and winter season. We get a preview of major Broadway productions from a playwright and theater critic. Join in on the shows you would love to see, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A song that needs no introduction, right? Courtesy of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons from the original 1978 film Grease. The Fireside Dinner Theater actors in Fort Atkinson opened their production of Grease yesterday. Runs through October 30th. Join in on the Broadway productions that you love, theater groups you support, 800-642-1234. Gwendolyn Rice is here, writer and playwright in Madison, reviews theater for publications in Madison and Milwaukee. Gwen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, we just heard, of course, the one and only Grease there, but what qualifies as a Broadway play?
Well, when we talk about Broadway musicals in particular, you know, we're really referring to not just the touring productions that are coming, you know, finally to the Midwest after they play and finish their run on Broadway.
Finally.
It's really a category of big, loud, lots of dancing, lots of music, you know, really big productions. That typically start on Broadway and then, you know, tour the country, and then a play like a musical like Grease, you know, can have its own life in high schools and community theaters, and then sometimes can be remounted. I mean, Grease has been remounted, I think, a couple of times on Broadway. And when I was looking through the listings of things that are going to be playing in Wisconsin this season, in the sort of Broadway category, that caught my eye, obviously, because there is a renewed interest in Grease, because, of course, Olivia Newton-John mm-hmm. has recently passed away, and that's that movie is a really iconic, you know, memory for a lot of people, and really, you know, grows interest in that very sort of silly story from the 1950s. So, yeah, the Fireside just opened with it yesterday. I'm sure the programming was completely accidental, but actually, you know, kind of favorable for them. People are in sort of a nostalgic mood. And you know, it's interesting about the Fireside is that they do their shows in the round. Mm-hmm. And so there's audience actually on all four sides of the playing space. And that's an unusual setup for a big Broadway type musical. So I think I'm sure their production is going to be really interesting, and it's going to bring back all of those songs that you know you love that
yes.
you heard before.
Well, let's make a little bit more space for that. You know, Olivia Newton-John died last month at age 73 of breast cancer, and Variety says "Summer Loving" was one of her top 10 songs. Here's the Broadway version from 2007.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
Met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to summer nights.
So, Gwen, how does the theater production of Grease compare to the film, and what you're seeing the evolution of how this has come to stages here in Wisconsin?
Well, theater productions are always going to be different from film because obviously, you know, you need to allow for scenery taking the place of, you know, real spaces. In general, a show on stage is going to have, you know, fewer people than the sort of hundreds of extras, you know, you can have in a film. I think the thing that's actually sort of wonderful about musicals like Grease is that you can see the movie, you can love the movie, but then you can also see, you know, a very theatrical version, which does have different conventions, but also appreciate it just as much. You know, no, it's not going to be John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John who, you know, really made a huge impact on, with those two roles, but it's going to be other actors who are taking on those roles, doing them maybe a little bit differently, but it's still going to be the same music, the same story, and it's going to be joyful in a whole different way, in part because you are sharing that experience with a live audience.
In that live audience, you know, take us inside the Fireside Dinner Theater experience in Fort Atkinson. I mean, this is a theater that's been open for nearly 60 years. Can you describe that setting and experience?
Yeah, actually, I grew up in a very small town called Milton, which is right next to Fort Atkinson. And long before I ever imagined that I was going to actually have a career that dealt with to the performing arts, my parents took me to the Fireside to see my first professional theater.
Wow.
And it had an extraordinary effect on me. I think the first musical I saw there might have been The Music Man. And it was just, it was extraordinary. I'd never experienced anything like that. And like I said, I mean, they have been doing their very specific sort of brand of staging musicals there for so many years. They do it really, really well. And what's interesting is that their stage is a very small sort of square in the middle of a pretty now large auditorium. They've expanded it, I know, since I started going there originally in the 80s. And so there's audience on all sides. It means that you can't have those enormous set pieces, you know, you can't have big backdrops, but it's also surprising how little you need that sort of thing. And you've got actors coming in from all four corners of the space and playing to a crowd that's around them, you know, a 360 crowd. It's really pretty remarkable. I mean, theater is always challenging when you take away sort of the backstage and a lot of the big visual elements that normally accompany, you know, a big show. I think it's more challenging, but it's been years since I've been there. But like I said, that was really my first exposure to professional theater, and I went religiously every year, you know, while I was in high school, and it really shaped my personal sort of love for the medium. So big
sounds
props
like
to them.
Yeah, it sounds like my experience. I grew up very close to the Guthrie Theater, the old Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis.
Right.
And when I was growing up, I just remember going there and not knowing as a kid just how, you know, integral it is to the arts community. And I just remember being so little and up in like way, way high up and just looking down at HMS Pinafore. And I was little, but it really made, you know, and then started going through high school as well because they had given tickets to Minneapolis public school kids. And, you know, you just, it kind of grew inside of you and you just didn't even know it was there. So I really appreciate your story. I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment. Gwen Rice with us, local theater critic, talking about Broadway, other theater shows coming to Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Gwen, let's turn to Come From Away, the you know, a look at the September 11th terrorist attacks. The musical is a story about how that day impacted a town in Canada, and it's coming to the Madison Overture Theater in November, I think. So what do you see in this production?
This is like the little production that could. You know, it started off very small, and it was actually based on a lot of interviews that this creative team did with the community in Gander, Newfoundland. And it's all based on real people, on real things that happened on 9/11 and in the few days afterwards. Gander used to have a huge airport, and it's where planes had to refuel on their way across the Atlantic. And then, of course, once planes became more efficient, they didn't have to stop on their way over. So this little tiny town in Newfoundland ended up with this huge airport that was hardly ever used. And so then all of a sudden 9/11 happens, and all of the planes have to be grounded immediately and clear the airspace. And this, again, little tiny town all of a sudden gets 7,000 air passengers that are all sort of stuck in this, you know, in this place that they, nobody knew what was going on, you know, and then suddenly the whole community basically just did everything that they could to welcome these thousands of people from all over the world who were stuck in this little place, you know, that they'd never heard of. And, you know, they were completely unprepared, you know, as we all were for that day. And the stories of the generosity of the people of Gander during that period are just extraordinary. I mean, it's sort of the story that you hope is going to happen, you know, that when suddenly people are in such grave need that everyone around them is going to do whatever they can to make things good. Well, and so, like I said, this creative team heard about the story, they interviewed all of these people, and then they put this musical together. The music is absolutely gorgeous.
Let's hear a little bit of it. This is the opening song, Welcome to the Rock. It's at the beginning that, you know, the cast is describing this island of Newfoundland, and there's the airport, as you say, on that island. And next door is a town called Gander.
It's a small place on a giant rock in the ocean. Everybody knows everybody else, and everybody in this room has a story about how they started that day. Welcome to the rock if you come from away. You probably understand about half of what we say. They say no man's an island, but an island makes a man.
Especially when one comes from one life.
So it's a mixture of talking and singing, and you know, is this style becoming more popular on Broadway?
I think so. I mean, you're always going to have some like jukebox musicals generally have scenes between songs, and then it's a song that you're familiar with, and then there's a little scene. There are a lot of musicals that are almost entirely sung through. I mean, Hamilton is a great example, where you can really listen to the soundtrack and get the entire story. Tick, Tick, Boom is another good example, and Dear Evan Hansen. It depends on, you know, what suits the material best. It's easy to enjoy both styles, I think. But yeah, this is finally coming to Overture. It was scheduled to come to Madison, and then the pandemic hit. It was scheduled again the following year, and it had to be canceled. And so finally, we get to see it. And like I said, it's incredibly heartwarming and just beautiful music.
We're talking about upcoming Broadway musical productions in Wisconsin theaters. Gwen Rice, our guide, reviews theaters in Madison and Milwaukee. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. This is the musical Hadestown. It's called, the song's called Flowers. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Until the night, men are kind until
it is the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. That is the one and only Dancing Queen from the original Mamma Mia, one of the longest running musicals on Broadway, 14-year run. Still time to talk about the most memorable Broadway productions you love, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin theater critic Gwen Rice stays with us. So, Gwen, Mamma Mia has some staying power, and it's playing at the Skylight Music Theater in Milwaukee starting next week. What are you looking forward to?
This is such an exuberant musical. It's almost impossible to go and see it and not have a really great time. And this will be, I think, maybe the fourth time I've seen it live. It was actually one of the first plays that I ever reviewed back before the Overture Center was built. The music is infectious. There's something that just, it puts you in a good mood. It makes you want to sing and dance. The other great thing is, you know, so this is a local company. It's in Milwaukee, the Skylight. It's their season opener. And I've talked to a lot of theater artistic directors who say, you know, we want to give people something that just is fun, that's just silly, that makes people happy, because the world right now is a difficult place for a lot of people to just, you know, get up and do their thing every day. And people are looking for some relief. They're just looking for a little
escape,
silly entertainment. And this perfectly fits the bill. It's exciting that they're starting their season with it. And it's, you know, a local Milwaukee-based production, but they do have, they actually have a woman, Monica Kapoor, who will be directing and choreographing the show. She was in the Broadway production of Mamma Mia for several years. And so she knows the
drill.
every time I talk about Mamma Mia, I hear Dancing Queen in my head, and it just makes me smile.
Well, so let's listen to the song Mamma Mia. One of the things that you noted, I think, was that it has great leading roles and character parts for women over 40, you know, and
yes,
that to me is notable and important as a woman well over 40. You know, what do you see in that?
I see a visibility, you know, little by little by little, that has been absent from a lot of big musicals. You know, usually there's the ingenue and there's the grandma, you know, and there's not a lot in between. Actually, Come From Away is another example of a really great ensemble cast with lots of people who are different ages. They're all different sizes. They're all different ethnicities. And so it's not about, you know, basically a chorus that all look like the Rockettes, you know, mm-hmm. It's not just for the 19-year-old skinny blonde girls, you know, to be in the show. I think progress is slow for women in professional theater in general. There's still an idea that if a play or a musical has been written by a woman, that it's not going to be as successful. And there are not nearly as many plays on Broadway or even in regional theater that are written by women. And that's something that, you know, it changes very slow. I'm hopeful, but and the more examples that we can see of, you know, real women who look like real women, who, you know, are, you know, God forbid, over 40, who are actually carrying the show. They're the protagonists. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that you're rooting for. I think it's healthy. I think it's also fantastic. You know, it's just a tragedy that sort of, you know, actors who, you know, work during their lives to, you know, grow their craft and become so good at it, once they hit a certain age, they're sort of uncastable. And that's not the same for men in general, you know. Which is the same in movies and a lot of other things, but that's why, yes, I appreciate Mamma Mia and Come From Away particularly, because they do have unconventional leading roles, and it shows that women over 40 can be funny, they can be serious, they can fall in love. You know, it's not like your life ends at 29.
Let me reintroduce you for a moment. Gwen Rice with us, local theater critic, as we look at Broadway, other theater shows coming to Wisconsin in the coming months. You can join in 800-642-1234. So let's talk about Six. So two Cambridge University undergrads, they wrote Six the Musical in 2016, a modern retelling of Henry VIII's Six Wives, presented in the style of a pop concert. Is the pop musical style, is that an attempt to appeal to a younger audience, as we just talk about actors getting up in years? What do you see in this one?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, the fact that it was sort of put together by some college students, you know, they, I'm sure that at the time that they were envisioning, you know, the wives of Henry VIII and their terrible demises, you know, as this sort of silly sort of Spice Girls concert, you know, comparing their lives and their terrible ends. I can't imagine that they had any idea how this would grow and literally now be touring the world. I mean, they basically just wanted to take it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I didn't realize that. That is so cool that it had its origins at the Fringe Festival.
Right. Where there's all sorts of crazy, you know, outlandish, you know, and you never know what's going to hit or what's going to get noticed or if anybody's going to come to your show. And there was just something about it. And I think, again, it has a lot of the, you know, it's the fun sort of musical where everything is big and glitzy and the costumes are crazy and full of, you know, rhinestones. And instead of showing these, you know, historical figures as these poor women who, you know, were killed off and put in towers and, you know, just terrible, terrible things by Henry VIII. You know, to reimagine them as these sort of powerful, like girl power, badass sort of rock stars, I think is fun. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, I have not seen it yet. I have many, many friends who've seen it. And the description of the music that they've given to me is that it's catchy. It's very sort of a pop score. I'm not sure we're still going to be singing songs from Six in 50 years.
And it's really hitting Wisconsin, Madison, Milwaukee, Fox Cities.
Yep. The tour is making all of the stops here in Wisconsin. And it is one, you know, like Hamilton, like Dear Evan Hansen, you know, that really had a very large fan base in younger people, which is great news mm-hmm. for the theater in general and also for Broadway. There's something about this that tween girls just go crazy for, which is great, you know. Oh. And again, I think it's a silly night at the theater, and why not?
Oh, Gwen, why not? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Gwen Rice, writer, playwright, theater reviewer based in Madison. Earlier, we talked with artistic directors Jen Uphoff-Gray and Brenda DeVita. We go out on the rendition of Hurricane by Bob Dylan from the musical Girl from the North Country. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.